You can turn, please, in the living word of God to the book of Ephesians and the chapter 6. Ephesians and chapter 6, begin reading at verse 10. The Apostle Paul brings his letter to the Ephesians to a conclusion, and he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts this morning. I just want to read one verse again, and it's verse 11. "Now we're told, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I'm sure some of you, if not a good number of you, will know why it is that the first month of our calendar year is called January. It's named after the Roman god Janus. Janus had two faces. One face looked backward and the other face looked forward. And of course, many people, whenever they come to the end of an old year and the beginning of a new, they will look backward and they will also look forward. Look back at the year gone past and look forward at the year to come. And I wonder this morning, if you're looking at the year ahead, I wonder, how do you feel? Maybe filled with excitement at all the wonderful possibilities that could happen this year. But I wonder if there's some this morning that are looking forward with anxiety. You're worried. You have looked at the year gone by. You've seen the various struggles and difficulties that you've gone through. And you look ahead and you do not know what lies ahead. You do not know what struggles will come, what trials will come, what temptations will come, what difficulties will come. You have no idea. Could be more so than you've ever imagined. And as such, you're worried. You look at your life at the present, you look at your faith, and you see that your faith is so very small. You wonder, how can I keep holding on to Christ? I'm struggling at the minute. Struggling to hold on to Christ. Struggling to keep going on with Christ. And if some big temptation comes, some big trial comes, some big bereavement comes, I do not know I'm going to be able to carry on. This morning I want to bring a word of encouragement to you. A word that by God's grace I trust will help you to carry on no matter what comes ahead. You see, this book of Ephesians is a book of encouragement. In the first three chapters, the Apostle Paul tells that God is the God of our salvation. In chapter 1, we are told that it is him who has chosen us long before we put our trust in him. He chose to save us before the foundations of this world. We are saved because of him. We then go into chapter 2 and we're told that we're saved by grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. No, God has saved you, child of God, by grace. Coming into chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells that God has given us his Holy Spirit to dwell with us always, to be our strength. God is the God of our salvation. Chosen us, saved us by grace, and dwells within us to be our strength, no matter what comes ahead. In chapter 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul tells not only has God saved us from sin, saved us from the punishment of sin, but he's also saved us from the bondage of it. Because the Lord has saved us to be made more like him and to follow him, to lead us in those paths of righteousness, to use us for his glory. What a wonderful thing. If you're saved this morning, you'll have that heart to want to live for the Lord, to love him. One of the wonderful promise to know that Christ has saved us to give us that strength to live for him. But coming into chapter 6, now as we read at the conclusion of this letter, the Apostle Paul, while he gives us much encouragement, telling us that God is the God of our salvation, and what that salvation includes, the Apostle Paul does remind us that we have an enemy. Who is that enemy, you may ask? Well, we're told in verse 11, the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is that enemy like, you may ask? Well, verse 12 tells us. We're told that it is a spiritual enemy, because we're told we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, that makes this enemy very difficult to fight. You know, if you could see someone coming towards you, you would know when they're coming. And if someone was physical right in front of you, you could get your fist and you could give them a smack. But it's a spiritual enemy. You can't see him, and you can't hit him. Difficult enemy to fight. Not only is spiritual enemy, but is an abundant enemy. Because we read there that we fight and wrestle against principalities. That's the idea of various ranks of an abundance. Then we also, of course, have a strong enemy, seen there by the word power, and a sinister enemy, an evil enemy, described there in those words, spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness. Seeing who this enemy is, what this enemy is like, strong and evil and wicked. Well, how does the enemy then attack us? We can't see him. How does this enemy attack us? We're told there at verse 11 to stand against the wiles. The idea there behind that word is tricks. Tricks. I'm sure many of you have seen a magician. A magician, he performs tricks. And what's the idea of his tricks? Well, he seeks to lead you a certain way whenever he, in reality, is doing something else. He is there to deceive you. And that's how the devil attacks. He uses tricks to deceive us. You think about how we read of Satan's first attack against Eve. And there, God had given Adam a very clear command of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat, because if you were to eat of that, the day in which thou shalt eat, thou shalt surely die. Adam then told that to Eve. And yet Satan came along, devil came along to Eve and said, hath God said, you can't eat of every tree? God's given you all these trees. Do you think God would give you a tree that you couldn't eat? That wouldn't make sense. See how, like a magician, he seeks to lead you down a certain path, get you thinking a certain way. And then Satan came along and said to Eve, and just deliberately lied to her and said, thou shalt not surely die. God's given you this tree. God is good. You'll not die if you eat that. Leading her a certain path, making her not realize that God is just and he will punish those that disobey, as well as being good. You think then about how Satan then attacked the Lord Jesus Christ, the beginning of the Gospels, there in Matthew chapter 4. Satan came along and said to Christ, if thou be the Son of God, well then you turn all these stones into bread. If thou be the Son of God, well you cast yourself off the temple because the angels will look after you. If thou be the Son of God, well then all these kingdoms, well, you bow down to me and I'll give you the kingdoms. He sought to place doubt into the mind of Christ, to lead him a certain way that Christ would bow down to him. How does the devil attack us? The devil attacks us by seeking to deceive us, leading us along a certain line of thought that is wrong. Jesus Christ summarized the strategy of Satan in John 8:44 whenever he said regarding him, there is no truth in him, and he is a liar and the father of it. And the reality this morning is, a child of God, while you may be saved by God's grace, while you may be held in his hand, yet the reality is that you have an enemy. You have an enemy who seeks to devour you, who walks about seeking to devour you. You have an enemy that is abundant. Yes, you have the devil, but then you have all the demons. You have an enemy that is stronger than you are. Stronger than I am. You and I have a wicked enemy. The question comes, and how do we stand against his enemy? And that's what we're told in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This morning I want to look simply at this subject of putting on the armor of God. Putting on the armor of God. Now some people, whenever they look at the armor, they believe that the armor refers to the life of the Christian. And in many ways you can apply it that way. But living a righteous life, etc. However, personally, I think it refers to the Lord of the Christian. It refers to Jesus Christ himself. Every piece points us to him who is our strength. So no matter how well you and I may live our lives, there will always be chinks in our armor. But there's no chink in Christ. He's perfect. And as we look to him, he will be our strength. So this morning, let us begin looking at putting on the armor of God. The first thing we're told to put on is the belt of truth. You look at me at verse 13. We're told there, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins, that is the top part of your legs, girt about with truth. A girt, or indeed a girdle, is that which surrounds you. And it's the idea of a belt. Now, there are various opinions of what this girdle is. Some people think it's a girdle that goes around about all the piece of armor at the end of it. But personally, I think that the piece of armor follows through what a Roman soldier put on. And there's those that would say that the girdle he referred to, this belt that's referred to, is below the breastplate, below the tunic. The Roman soldier would have his normal clothes, and Romans typically wore long, flowing clothes. But I don't know if you've ever tried to fight in a dressing gown. Hope you don't try to fight at all, not to mention try and fight in a dressing gown. But if you try and fight something that's a long flow, you could easily get tripped up in it. And so the Roman soldier, they would have got the bottom of that robe, they would have got it and they would have pulled it up so it was well above the knee, and then they would have tied a girdle round about it to keep it so that their legs were free from tripping and stumbling. They weren't going to get tripped up. And you know, if you and I want to be able to stand strong in this world, stand strong with the enemies coming against us, we need to remember this. That Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. You see, the devil will come along and he will say to you, you know the way Jesus Christ has promised in John 3 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Salvation's not that simple. A lot more complicated than that. You're not really saved. Whenever Jesus Christ has promised that he will never leave nor forsake his people, well, tell me, do you feel his presence? Do you feel him with you? Do you not often wake up in the morning and feel that God is so far away from you? You can't trust that promise. Whenever he's promised, if you call on him, that he will show you great and mighty things which you know not. You've been crying to God for great and mighty things. You've been crying for God to save that loved one. And God does not save him. God does not keep his promise. You cannot trust him. You take God's promise that he says there in Galatians chapter 6, that if you sow that you will reap. You can't trust that promise. You've been sowing and sowing and sowing your prayers and sowing the word of God to your children and in the Sunday school and the children's meetings and to your loved ones and to your work colleagues and your students. But they're still not saved. You can't trust that promise. Satan comes along with his doubts. You say you can't trust the word of God. You can't trust Christ. But I encourage you this morning, before that doubt ever comes, whenever you get up in the morning, you remember this. That Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ said in John 14, I am the way, the truth. Jesus Christ, we're told of in Peter's letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, 22, that Christ did no sin, neither was there guile or deceit or lies found in his mouth. You and I can trust Jesus Christ now because he is the truth, and the devil, remember, he is a liar and the father of it. Whenever Jesus Christ promises in John 3 that whosoever believeth in him, resteth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life, he means it. The gospel is that simple. Who are you trusting in this morning? Your life, your own life, your own works? Are you trusting in Christ and what he's done? The blood he shed for you, the debt he's paid for you. You're trusting in Christ, you're saved. Whenever Jesus Christ promises in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Jesus Christ will never leave us. Oh, sometimes we may not feel his presence, but that doesn't mean that Christ is not there. Whenever Jesus Christ promises that if we call on him, he will show us great and mighty things which we know not. You look throughout Scripture, you will see how prayer is a powerful means whereby God accomplishes his work. God is still the Savior of souls today, child of God. Don't give up praying. Don't give up calling on the Lord. Don't give up calling on him to work. He still has a people to save. Whenever Jesus Christ promises that his word will not return unto him void, whenever he promises that those that sow will reap, he tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't give up. No matter what comes your way this year, don't give up serving. Don't give up persevering. Don't give up going on. You will reap if you faint not. The first thing we're told to put on is the belt of truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. The second piece of armor we're told to put on there is also found in verse 14. And we're told, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now you think about the breastplate. What's it normally made of? Well, it's not made of cardboard or paper or straw. It's made of something that is strong and durable. It's made of metal. What does it cover? Most importantly, it covers the heart, doesn't it? A breastplate covers the heart. If someone was to attack your heart and hit your heart, you'd be a goner. A breastplate covers the heart. And so often the devil will attack the heart, will he not? He will look at your life, and perhaps you hear these doubts coming into your mind. Look at your life. You say you love God. You say you're a child of God. You say you're a new creature in Christ. Look at your heart. You don't love God. If you loved God, you wouldn't have lost your temper the other day. If you loved God, you wouldn't have told that lie the day before. If you loved God, you wouldn't have looked at that thing that you shouldn't be looking at. You wouldn't have went to that place you shouldn't have been. If you loved God, you would love him. You would follow him. You'd obey him. But look at your life. Look how often you feel God. The psalmist tells in Psalm 45, verse 7, that God loves righteousness. He loves what's right. And he hates wickedness. Your life is full of wickedness. God doesn't love you, the devil says. God doesn't love you. Look at your heart. Child of God, long before the devil ever comes with his deception, his tricks, leading you down the wrong path, I encourage you to remember this. Not only is Jesus Christ the truth, but Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Jesus Christ, the one who's lived that perfect life for us. Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross and paid the debt for all our sins. Yes, those lies. Yes, those times we've lost our temper. Yes, those times where we've been disobedient, went to the wrong place, looked at the wrong thing. Jesus Christ has paid the debt for them once and for all. God loves us today not because of ourselves, not because of our heart, not because of anything we've ever done or ever will do. God loves us today because Jesus Christ, he is our righteousness. He is the one who covers us and makes us as white as snow in God's sight. I encourage you to remember this. God loves you because of Christ. And that love will never fail. That love will never diminish. That love will never change. God loves you because of Christ. A third piece of armor we're told to put on then are the sandals of peace. You look at me at verse 15. We're told, and to have your feet shod, that is, the sole of your feet covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can you imagine a Roman soldier? There he is, lined up at the army camp. And he has all the other soldiers round about him. And he's eager to serve his captain. He's eager to do his captain's will. However, as he hears the command of the captain in the morning time, the captain says, "Right, army, I want you to march through the forest. After you get through the forest, you will reach a high cliff, a stony cliff, and I want you to climb it. After that, that will then lead you down towards the shore, there where the sand, and I want you then to fight in the sand." And the soldier, he looks there with great eagerness. He wants to serve, but yet at the same time, he looks down at his feet. He hasn't got anything on his feet. And he looks at that forest ahead in his mind's eye. And he sees all the brambles and all the bushes and all the thorns. He says, "I can't walk over that." He looks ahead and he sees the sharp rocks. He says, "I can't climb that. Cut my feet to shreds." He looks down at that beach. Sunny, hot day. His feet would be bored. Imagine standing in that, but hopping about all over the place. He couldn't stand strong. But yet, if his captain was to provide him with soles or shoes, sandals, then he could go through that forest. He could go up that cliff. He could go under the sand, and he would be able to stand strong because he had been provided with everything that he needed. He would have peace. You see, the gospel is not just that Jesus Christ has paid the debt for our sins and he's lived the perfect life, but the gospel of peace includes the fact that Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. And whatever he calls us to do, wherever he sends us to go, he will provide us with everything that we need. A child of God this morning, do you want to serve the Lord? You want to be that faithful mother, father, grandmother, grandfather. You want to be that faithful son, daughter. You want to be that good sister, that brother. You want to be the one who prays. You want to be the one who is a good and faithful Sunday school teacher, a children's worker. You want to be faithful in all that God's called you to be. That husband, that wife. But yet, you look at yourself. Essentially, down at your feet, and I'm not able to do it. I'm not able to do it. I haven't got the strength to do it. I haven't got the ability to do it. I'm just not able to do it. We'll be encouraged this morning. Jesus Christ is not only the truth. Jesus Christ is not only our righteousness. Jesus Christ is our peace. He is the captain of our salvation. And wherever he calls us to go in this incoming year and every day after that, whatever he sends us to do, he will provide us with all that we need. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, "Faithful is he that calleth you. He also will do it." Child of God, be encouraged. Christ is your peace. Moving on, we see then the fourth piece of armor. And we're told there in verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Perhaps you've been listening this morning, and you say, "Well, that's all well and good. Remembering that Jesus Christ is the truth. Remembering that Jesus Christ is my righteousness and God loves me because of him. Remembering that Jesus Christ is my peace and provide me with everything that I need, no matter what he asks me to do, no matter where he sends me to go. But all this takes faith. And my faith is just tiny. Just tiny." Well, I trust this piece of armor will be an encouragement to you. Can you imagine a Roman soldier being asked to go through the forest, being asked to climb that cliff, being asked to go down to the beach, and being asked to do it all without a shield? He would go through that forest. Oh, he may be able to dodge one or two arrows, but eventually he'd be thinking, "An arrow's going to get me someday or another. Maybe in that cliff, maybe down to the beach. One day or another, I'm going to get hit." But yet if he had a shield, The Roman shield was not a wee tiny round one that the Celts normally had. The Roman shield was a large shield. In fact, whenever the Roman soldier crouched down, it covered his whole head down to his toe. Covered all of him. And he used to hide behind that shield. He'd be completely covered, completely protected. And Jesus Christ says to us, he said to Abraham in Genesis 14, Abraham, I am thy shield. I am thy shield. You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, also in this book which we're looking at, we're told that faith is a gift of God. See, Jesus Christ, not only one who provides us with the strength that we need to serve him, that gospel of peace, but Jesus Christ is the one who gives us that faith that we need. And oh yes, our faith may be attacked. People may come and criticize what we believe regarding the Word of God. But Jesus Christ has promised, by God the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, to bear witness with our hearts that we are the children of God, that the gospel is real. And therefore be encouraged this morning. No matter what attacks may come this incoming year and every day after that, Jesus Christ is your shield. Jesus Christ is there to protect you. And you will ever have the faith that you need. Because the source of it is not you working it up. Jesus Christ is the source of it. Oh, I encourage you, ever keep close to the Word of God. Ever keep reading it day by day. Because it is in the Word of God the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your heart. The gospel is real and you are a child of God. If you're trusting in Christ. And come then to the last offensive piece of armor. It's found there in verse 17. And we're told to take the helmet of salvation. I always wondered whenever I was younger, why is it we're told to take the helmet of salvation? Is this not the gospel armor for the Christian, not for the unsaved? Why take a helmet of salvation? And then I was reading one day in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 8, and I believe here the answer is found. See, the Apostle Paul again takes up this idea of an armor, speaking to the Christian, and he talks about the helmet. And he describes it as this, the helmet as the hope of salvation. And sometimes you and I use the word hope to refer to that which we would like, that which we would wish for. I wish my exams will go well. I wish it's a nice day tomorrow. I wish this and I wish that. But the word hope in Scripture refers to that which is certain, that which is expected to come, that which we know is coming, without doubt. You see, the helmet covers the mind. And the wonderful thing is that Christ is our hope. You imagine a Roman soldier, and as he goes out to fight, he's willing to fight in the battle. He's willing to fight in the war. But yet he longs for home. He longs to be home with his family. He longs for peace. He longs for the battle and the struggle and the fight and the difficulty to be over. He longs to be at home. But yet if that Roman soldier, if all he ever thinks about and if all he ever expects is just to be in that battle, battle after battle, fight after fight, war after war, struggle after struggle, and to never get out of it, and imagine you just turn around and say, what's the point? If there's nothing after this, what's the point? If there's never going to be peace, what's the point? If I'm always going to be struggling and fighting, what's the point? Just give up. Perhaps you feel the same. Or perhaps you've been going through struggles. Perhaps you're continuing to go through struggles. Perhaps you begin to think, well, if that's all there is, what's the point? Just give up now. If all there is ahead of me is more struggle and more struggle and more struggle, just give up. What's the point? Child of God, this morning, put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. Your salvation does not only include sins forgiven, not only includes Christ keeping you, providing for you all that you need to serve him. Not only includes Christ giving you that faith, your salvation includes Christ taking you home to be with him. The hope, the certainty of salvation completed. See, child of God, one day you will be with Christ. Oh, yes, you and I may be in the battle at the minute. You and I may be struggling at times. But one day we will see Jesus Christ. One day we will be with him for all eternity. One day we will see him who has loved us with an infinite love. Every time we have fallen and stumbled, he's picked us up. He's always been our strength. One day we will see him. One day we will be with him. There'll be no devil there. There'll be no struggle there. No flesh there. No world there. We'll be with Christ. No enemies. Peace. And in his presence where there's fullness of joy. At his right hand where there are pleasures forevermore. Child of God, put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Oh yes, we have a battle to fight this morning. We have a service to live for Christ. To reveal him by our lives, to your family, to your friends, to all those whom we meet, to reveal him by our lips. Tell the gospel. Yes, there will be attacks. We have a great enemy. We have the flesh. We have the world. We have its distractions. But we also have the devil, the one who deceives us. But child of God, you and I can stand strong this incoming year. You and I can stand strong every single day as we remember this. Jesus Christ is the truth. Every promise he's given, this gospel, the salvation, is by believing in him. Loved us and given himself for us. He is with us always, never to leave us nor forsake us. Prayer is powerful. And those that sow, they shall reap, if we faint not. Jesus Christ, he is our righteousness. God will ever love us, not because of us, but because of him. Jesus Christ is our peace. Provide us with everything we need, no matter where we go, no matter what he calls us to do. Jesus Christ, he is our faith. And Jesus Christ, he is our hope. The anchor to our soul, drawing us one day at a time ever closer to be with him for eternity. Child of God, I encourage you to put on the armor of God. It is interesting to note that this is a command. Just like Jesus Christ gives command to love one another, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to love the Lord God with all your heart, just as those are commands, this is a command. And ever since studying this a wee while ago, I seek to remember every single day all these truths regarding Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this, every single time I've done it, I've been encouraged and I've been strengthened. Oh, I may have been downcast. I may have been struggling. But these truths encourage me. I encourage you to remember them, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand for Christ. I trust the Lord will bless his word to your heart as well as to mine. And if you're not saved this morning, you know, just as the Christian has an enemy, just as the devil seeks to attack them, the devil is attacking you. Bible talks about, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, about the unsaved being held in the devil's lap, being cradled to sleep. But you know, this morning, Jesus Christ offers himself to you to save you, to be your righteousness, to be your peace and your provision, to be your promise of heaven, to be everything to you. If you not receive him today, be freed. Freed from the devil's clutches. Be freed from the devil's deception. Be freed on to Christ. And to be his for time and for eternity.